yesterday at the funeral with that guitar, did you?
I wasn't there.
You sure were.
Uh-uh.
You weren't there yesterday. You might not have been there yesterday, but one time.
Oh, I've been there at Hanson Cross Road.
I know it, that singer.
I was there.
The first time you went there, you played that guitar.
I would have been married 5 years that same day, next day. That I went down there.
You was cutting up, so.
Don't tell your age.
I didn't tell him my age. I said I was married 50 years the next day. The day before, I went to Hanson Cross Road.
How long ago that been?
It's been at least 6. Go on, 7.
For the people that do remember hearing fiddling, are there people still around in the county that do any?
There's a few. Now, we got a fellow Allegood over there at Orange City fiddling. And he's got up a... And then we got a patrolman. His name is... I don't know. He fiddles pretty well with them Miller boys and stuff over there around Orange City. But I can't think of his name right now.
Where is Orange City?
It's 4 miles east... 4 miles east of Donaldsonville, Georgia, where 91 and 84 crosses. Mm-hmm. 91 goes north and south, and 84 goes east and west.
And what about the people that live in Jackson County or any of the surrounding Florida counties? Are there any string bands that people know of, or other kinds of instrumental people? You're nodding
all
your head.
All the old-time fiddlers I used to go to over there to Square Dance, they done went on, seen about it.
Well.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I
still have a lot of.
Well, we have family members that fiddle, not using music. Mm-hmm. And there's, I'm counting Kansas out of one. We have 2 or 3 people down there that still actively fiddle, and they go to the Citrus Convention over at Chimney every year.
Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Connie Palmer.
Oh, you're Connie Palmer. Connie, I have talked to you so many times over the phone, and I've never met you. I'm Doris Dyan, for the benefit of everybody else. I'm glad you're here.
In the adjoining county where I live, Walden County, mm-hmm. We have a teacher who teaches all kind of instruments and sings.
Does he?
J.D. Hollis.
Hollis?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. So we know
he
about...
He tunes pianos, he can tune anything, play mm-hmm. or sing anything.
Mm-hmm.
His whole family can.
So we know about singing traditions. We know about some instrumental traditions. What about dancing? I know that some of you folks are probably, primitive Baptists that don't believe in dancing, but some people...
Oh, yes, they do, too.
I
just got where they came. They got too old.
I know some old yada now. I know Miss Barfield knows some about that, too.
Yeah.
They wouldn't drink their liquor that the candidates had out, but they'd have a jug at home and they could drink when they wanted. They'd go there and everything. That old-timey country square dancing, I was really familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. How is it different from the kind of dancing people do now?
Much different. They get up
sound
there and
better
dance, now what I call it, just stand
there. And they have a lot of cloggers and all. They just stomp.
They have a few clubs now that promote this square dancing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amongst the senior citizens, mm-hmm. about.
But that kind of square dancing isn't quite the same.
No,
it's they call it clogging now. They don't know how to dance. They just get up there and stomp.
We got a.
There's a fella from the Chimney Act lives down there in the backwoods where I live. There's two of them up there by the Chimney Act. He can flat, make a fiddle, talk.
What are their names, do you know?
Bass.
Bass. Mm-hmm.
That's Sam Daddy.
Sam Bass?
Yeah.
Oh, I know it.
And what Bass?
You know, there's songs about somebody named Sam Bass. You know that? Old,
and his daddy can play it. Real good.
Mm-hmm. Horace Newberry worked over at Pig the Wiggly. His brother owned it. He's a caller for this young modern day. Mm-hmm. I love to hear him call.
Yeah.
I ain't never got out there and tried to go through a set with him because I don't know it.
Right.
You have to be taught that.
You sit and listen to that a little bit. You don't have to know how. And if you listen to that call, you just get to working you over. You just get up there and he'll just work. You just go automatically.
You know where Horace learned his net? Open a record.
Yeah.
He had a record. He used to have a store. And when he's playing that record and learning how to call a set, I don't care how many folks come in, they can walk out where he's concerned. That's where he went out of business.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
He he meant to.
Well, he gets good money for his calling now. He goes mm-hmm. off well off call up around
he
Columbus.
A lot over
yeah, does he?
Yes.
They were back when we was going, they didn't nobody get no pay for no calling.
No, that's right. And the fiddler didn't get much.
No.
Maybe a dime a set.
Yeah. The reason, one of the reasons why I'm interested in all this is that I don't know how many of you either remember whether I had a chance to tell you, but I'm from the Bureau of Florida Folklife, and we're working, of course, with the State Library to do these programs. But what we do is to go around the whole state and talk to people who are involved in different kinds of traditions, folk traditions of all kinds, crafts and singing and just anything you can mention just about. And so I'm always interested to know, you know, what the folk culture of a particular place is all about and what makes this region different, say, from other parts of the state. And that's why, you know, I think it's good for us to just talk about it and get our collective memories going.
If you could go down to what they call Possum Day at Walsall, you could learn a lot about all that. They have all kinds of dancing and singing.
Possum what?
They call it Possum Day. It's a celebration they have on the first Saturday in August every year.
First weekend in August. Mm-hmm.
And they're there by the thousands of people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd enjoy that.
Well,
it's on the 6th.
I hope I get to go sometime. Before
well,
we
what,
go...
What time did you go down to Pilgrim Rest? Was it in April? Or
yeah.
It was in April.
There too. Uh-huh.
I was there. It's been the last 6-7 years.
I just want to point out some of the... Just a couple of things that are in this packet. These are for you to keep, by the way, to take home with you. This one especially, that when you get a chance a little later, you might want to look up. We put together, we sent a questionnaire around to all kinds of local history societies and libraries and archives, and put together a directory, town by town, of what kinds of materials there are in some of these places about local history and about local folk heritage. And so you might be able to find some things, say, in Mariana, in Dufuniac Springs, in Chipley, in all the various places around, what kinds of materials there are available in case people in your area are interested in your own heritage. So we don't need to be looking at these things too much right now, but you know, be sure to look at them if you have a chance to.
Hit top of the share. Well, here, where it says city and nation,
that's for afterwards.
Where you live, where, in other words, that's where I live. That would be the Android.
No, we'll talk about that afterwards. That's an evaluation sheet after we do the whole program. What we're going to do now is start talking a little bit about
did you take it out?
About sacred harp singing. And again, for those of you that don't know, the sacred harp, I'm borrowing somebody's book right here. The Sacred Harp is a book. A lot of times when I say the word, sometimes people think it's an instrument. You know, they think, oh, you mean a harp like what you play. I say, no.
Harmonica.
It's a harp like, it's just, you know, a figure of speech. And then other times people think that I've said Sacred Heart. Some, you know, so, like Catholic people sometimes hear it wrong. But it's a book, and it's a book that's, it's a type of book called a tune book because it's a horizontal shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very old kind of singing book. It goes back to, the 18th century or before.
Before.
And so it's a very old kind of singing and a very old kind of printing. The book is printed in what they call shape notation, and that means that every note has its own shape,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you follow the music. You go ahead and sing with it, and I was told by one singer that the notes guide your voice, which
mm-hmm.
I thought was a nice
way
to put it.
That's
where you
run the porch with.
That's right. What I thought we'd do before we actually do any singing is to see a short slide tape program that our bureau put together, and this is on a sing that happens in Central Florida. And I thought that your singers would be interested to see, because you're going to recognize some of the folks in it. And the people that don't know much about it, it's going to be sort of like a little introduction to what the singing is all about. And then we'll actually do a little bit of singing here. But so let's see. This is about the Bethlehem Sacred Harp Sing at Old Chicora, which is not far from Frostproof. It's in Polk County, right below Orlando. Mm-hmm. And let's just go ahead and see that.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let me see. You might recognize me up there.
Yeah.
I hadn't been four times
in the last 12 years. I reckon you've been more than that.
I don't know. I've been there so long, I forgot.
You have to forgive me if I didn't get all this right the first time.
Well, that's all right.
I'm not the greatest audiovisual specialist.
In 1844, Benjamin Franklin White, a singing school teacher living in Harris County, Georgia, published The Sacred Harp. This book of old Baptist religious folk song was to become the most popular and long-lasting of the American shape note songsters. The Sacred Harp is written in the ancient fa-sol-la musical system. This scale, used in Old English music and carried to America by British settlers, has only four notes, fa, so, la, and mi. An American invention was the use of shapes to identify each of the four notes. This visual aid was used in American singing schools to make the learning and teaching of music easier. First, the song is lined out using the notes. Then words are added on the second round. The Sacred Harp became the official songbook of many Southern musical conventions and spread from Tennessee to Florida, Georgia to Texas. After the turn of the century, shape note, or fa-sol-la singing, began to decline. However, in the Southeast United States, the Sacred Harp has enjoyed a continuous popularity. The Sacred Harp has undergone many revisions since its beginnings. The Cooper Revision of 1902 is the most popular book in Florida and is used in many Sacred Harp sings today.
This is Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church. Sunday in May in 1924. founders and the originators mostly of this was the Albritton family. Terry Albritton was the leader. The very dawn of my memory was I'm 55. And then my grandfather, who was Jesse Arthur Albritton, took it until he died. And my grandfather was born in Florida, right here in just a mile of this church, and had a place that joined this property and lived here all of his life. But they had it with them. I have seen some of the old books that his sisters had and also his brothers had, which only had the three lines. It didn't have alto. And we have some of those books, and I remember one in particular was my one of his sister's books that is still around today. But it had three lines, and it was a small book. But they brought it with them when they came down from Georgia back around for the Civil War.
Songs from the Cooper Book.
We thought for a while it was about gone, but as you see now, it's going back again, and we hope to just continue on and on and on. As long as I can't have anything to do with it, we'll keep going.
People that haven't done much singing, what you're able to see in that is what the what it feels like to be at a sing. Now, Trish, I want to know a little bit about that since you went with me that day up to Pilgrim's Rest, and the people that do a lot of singing all know also, but those of you who never have gone to a sing may not know how much really a community activity it is. Usually sings are held in churches. They're usually attended by the same people year after year. People come back. Often a church will have it in conjunction with a homecoming, or will have it in conjunction with honoring a particular member of the church. And so it's something that has a significance for people beyond the actual music. You know, the music is beautiful and people enjoy singing it, but the meaning of the music goes far beyond that to the people that do it. And it's a way to remember the past. It's a way to sort of have a link to the future. It's a way to keep faith, I guess, with people who are your own relatives, who are your relatives by marriage. You know, maybe if it's a church that's not your church, but you may have kinfolk that go to that place. And it's a way of sort of identifying with your area. You know, that you know that if you're a Sacred Harp singer and you live in Jackson County, or you live just over the line in Alabama, but you're related to everybody in Jackson County, you know where you're from. You know who you are. And that's, to me anyway, I don't know, the singers might disagree with me about that, but to me that's always been one of the great underlying meanings of this music, you know, and why it's so important to people. Because otherwise, you know, a tradition dies out if it doesn't have any meaning for people. And we've seen so many folk traditions that do die out, you know, that are just lost because they don't function anymore. But this music functions in people's lives. You know, it's part of who they are, and it's part of their daily life that they don't want to give up.
and so they don't. And that's why there's so many of them here today.
It's that great feel, that time of fellowship we have together, what draws us together more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Get me a little back.
That's all right. That's okay. I'm just keeping watching this. Yeah, that's fine.
See, part of them are seen in my family.
I was going to say another, the lighter side of it that you also could see in this slide presentation is what's called dinner on the grounds. And I don't know, for those of you that live in town now or that have never been part of a rural Baptist or Methodist church, you haven't eaten until you have gone to a dinner on the grounds because, it's a way of, if people are coming from all over the place to help sing, it's the least anybody can do is to give them a good dinner, to give them strength to carry on through the afternoon.
Great time through that an hour.
Well, you'll never go nowhere to nothing that you'll feel no more welcome than you will at a second off thing. Yeah. I don't care where you go to. You feel just as welcome you would be if you go home.
Feel better will make you feel better.
That's right. If you go there for the,
on your mind,
the if you go singing. There for the good days and the singing, it'll make you much feel much better than we're going on.
What
down
Eagle, you see that blonde headed girl was out of my granddaughter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why I just was delighted to be able to show this for you all because I knew that
I went there to things for several years, you know, on the fifth Sunday.
I've been down there for the last 12.
Mm-hmm. This is over at Brewster, wherever they have a fifth Sunday. That's
where
that
bishop
is. I know it's them people.
Mm-hmm. But if you go and get a little rubbed off on you, want to go back.
Oh, I've been coming back for what?
Yeah.
You all don't know this, but I did some work in southern Alabama about, 10, 12 years ago now. And that's when I first started going to Sacred Heart Center, and I've been going ever since.
I tell you what church you was at.
I bet you can. It was up around Ozark. You here, Miss Glover. You stand up. You're from Ozark.
She lives right side of the church where you were at.
I saw Paul in the picture.
Been to my home,
sure
too,
Ozark Church years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was there the time he was there.
What I'd like to do, if y'all are ready, is to just do a little bit of singing with however all of us we've got. And what I'd also like to do is invite anybody who is at the present thinking that they're part of the audience to come and sit by somebody who's singing, and so that you get a feel for what the music sounds like, because it's different if you hear it the way we were just hearing it as part of a, you know, in a slide tape presentation where you're not in the singing, but it sounds different when you're in it. You know, it's a different feeling. So I'd like for all of you, even if you don't sing, to come up anyway and look on with somebody who's singing. And what we're going to do, now you all have to help me set this up right, but I would think that we want the altos to sit over here. Wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's where they usually put them.
Let me get my book. Come on, stomach, my book.
If the alto sit here, then where do the trebles over here, right?
Yeah. The treble sits over here.
Uh-huh.
Bass over there.
For those of you that
I'm in the wrong place. I don't play bass.
It was a little hard to see in the slides, but this music is sung. It isn't sung like a choir. It's sung in a square seating arrangement, and that really helps you hear what everybody's doing. So, and the person who's leading would stand right where I'm standing now. And so
they
people
face
hear
the
that's
now,
right.
Sam shape, they face the class.
So let's everybody
that's what I'm gonna have to do Sunday.
Get around in where you're.
Y'all want to come on up closer?
Come on up, Tim.
We can stay here too.
I'll let the singers get here.
Well, I'd really like for you all to be able to see the book and follow along with what's going on.
Who's
going
to do the pitching?
Well, good.
I'm enough for the singers.